Hi, my name is David Issa. I'm one of the pastors at Eagle Ridge Bible Fellowship in Coquitlam, British Columbia. With the current COVID gathering limitations still in place, we're not able to meet together as a whole congregation in our building, and so we continue to gather online, and we are glad that you have joined us. Today, we're going to be continuing in Paul's letter to the Philippians. I hope you're enjoying the series on this letter because, in terms of letters written from prison, this is one of the most amazing. It is filled with so many powerful, memorable truths to take hold of and to work into our lives. For example, the opening message that Pastor Dave gave, I was impacted by the double identity that he drew attention to. Paul spoke of himself as being a servant, and he spoke about the Philippians as being saints. And I thought, wow, those identity markers, being a servant of Christ impacts how I work. And being a saint, well, that certainly impacts my sense of worth. I've also been struck by how many famous and familiar verses there are in this letter. For example, chapter 1, verse 6, Paul expresses his confidence that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Well, that's a great one. And we all need Christ, the perspective that Paul gives us on life and death. I mean, in a world where we think, well, really living is being on vacation and contemplating death is horrifying. And so we need Paul's reminder in chapter 1, verse 21, that for me to live is Christ, he said, and to die is gain. Moms and dads, one of the best things that you can do and give your kids is truths for them to hang on to in the storms of life. I often call these life preservers, right? They keep us afloat in the storms of life. And especially, with Father's Day, hey, dads, grandfathers, I want to encourage you to help your kids memorize verses. For example, he who began a good work in you will be faithful to, and you just leave some words out, and then you have them fill it in. Or you might take turns, each saying a word or two around the table, and pretty soon you will find that you have it memorized. And for Father's Day and grandfathers, I also encourage you to take a moment and also share with your kids why one of these verses that you have just been learning together, why it is so important in your life. Today, we're going to pick up where we left off last week at the last paragraph of chapter 1, as well as the first paragraph of chapter 2 in Paul's letter. Now, Paul is going to be encouraging the Philippians to be devoted to a life worth living. And he's going to be using three main metaphors. He's going to be talking about living like good citizens. He's going to be talking also about living like good soldiers and also like good athletes. But of course, the most prominent and powerful model that he will set before us is Jesus. Let's read Philippians chapter 1, beginning at verse 27. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. Well, in verse 27, Paul continues a shift that began back in verses 25 and 26, in which he had been giving attention to how the gospel was advancing in his life. Now he shifts the attention to how the gospel should be progressing in their lives. So he says, whatever happens to me. What he means by that, whether I come and see you in person or whether I hear you about you in my absence, the best gift I could possibly receive from you is news that you